Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From the book of Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, friend, we have presented to us two very opposite spiritual conditions in this passage. One, a condition of life, and the other, the state of spiritual death. Now, these were the past and present states of those to whom Paul was writing. The present state was life, because they had been made alive, they had been quickened. And the past state was the state of death, because they were formerly separated from God. They had reference to the spiritual life and death. This is what Paul is talking about, not physical life, not physical death, because the ones to whom he wrote these words certainly were still physically alive. But spiritual death is caused by man's transgression from the law of God. 1 John 3 and verse 4, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Now, Paul talked about their condition before they became Christians. They walked according to the evil ways of this world. They were living in the way of the devil. They had a spirit of disobedience. They lived to satisfy their appetites and their lust and sensuality, following their own will. And when one is spiritually dead, he is like others who are under the wrath and condemnation of God. Paul said, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world." That was their former condition. And Paul describes one's spiritual state outside of Christ in passages like, and did the Apostle Peter. Peter said, "For the time past of our life will suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Again we read in the book of Ephesians, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Ah, friends, such passages define the sad spiritual state of those who have not yet come to Christ, those who are doomed and damned in their sin. This was what it was in their earlier life. If I was going to give my lesson a title, I would call it Before and After God. Paul has described the condition of these people before they came to the ways of God. but the ones in Ephesus to whom Paul wrote were now enjoying spiritual life. They had been brought over from the dominion of death. They were now having spiritual life. And they were like the ones in Colossae. And it is said of them that they had been delivered out of the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. They were no more servants of sin. They were now servants of righteousness, as Paul had taught in Romans chapter 6. Now, to enjoy spiritual life, that's the result of being raised up with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, it teaches that we are raised to walk in a newness of life. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it teaches us that we put off the old man of sin. We put on the new man. In Romans chapter 6, it teaches that Christ was raised from the dominion of death unto life. And the passage reads, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." In Romans 6 and verse 11, Paul said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Friends, spiritual life means to sit in heavenly places, that is, in a state appointed by the will of heaven, the most desirable state, a spiritual state of life. We have been lifted out of the ways of sin, and we've been delivered from the guilt of sin, and we've taken our places alongside the Lord. And eventually, if we live a life of faithfulness, we will be in heaven with God. The spiritual life is a restoration of a happy and favorable unity and relationship with God. And this is the state in which the one must be when he dies, if he's going to go to heaven and be with God. But now our question, what brought about this great difference between spiritual death and spiritual life? Verse 4 of Ephesians 2 tells us, "But God." Now Paul is going to emphasize the credit of going from spiritual death to spiritual life. He said, "But God." Friend, here is the difference between what was and what is with these people to whom he wrote. God makes the difference. Without God, the former condition of spiritual death would remain. With God, we see the difference between death and life. "But God," Paul says. In Ephesians chapter 4, to which we once referred, Paul speaks of those who have been renewed in the spirit of your mind. He speaks of putting on the new man, taking a new nature of righteousness and of holiness. And that's one of God's own creations, to live the way God had created us to be. This difference was to do, however, to what God has done. Man has gone from being lost in sin to being saved in Christ. And the glory and the honor and the credit of that belongs to God. Now, in what way has God made the difference? It was because of his rich mercy and his great love for mankind. God's love, God's mercy, that is what has made the difference. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. And how has his love and mercy made the difference? It was because of Christ. The love and the mercy of God was manifested in Christ. He said, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." There's no separation of the love and the mercy of God from the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We're saved by His mercy, Titus chapter 3. He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and we're saved by His blood, Romans 5, 6 through 9. Ephesians 2:16 teaches that we're reconciled to God through the death of His Son, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Unity with God and unity with those who belong to God is in the one body, which is the church, and that by the body of the cross. God, loving man even in his sinful condition, and even in spiritual death, granted unto man an unearned and unmerited and undeserved favor. God, by His grace and not by man's own righteousness, but through His Son, Jesus Christ, He's provided the way of rescue of man from spiritual death. He paved the way for man to know and enjoy spiritual life. Romans 6, verse 23 reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, even though spiritual life is a gift that God gives, man still has a responsibility to receive and accept that which God offers. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." You see, we appropriate unto ourselves the benefits of the grace of God that He's provided through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're delivered from sin when we obey, as Paul has taught, that form of doctrine which he delivered. Christ, the author of salvation. But to whom and for whom? He's the author of salvation to them that obey Him. He offers salvation to all, but only those who obey shall reap the benefits of what God has done. The fact that man is to obey God and he has told Him what to do, that in no way diminishes from the fundamental truth that our salvation ultimately has been dependent upon the grace of God. Paul simply shows that salvation, it's not by grace alone, as some erroneously teach, but without the grace of God, there wouldn't be any salvation. And our faith and our obedience in no way earns God's favor. That in no way diminishes the fact that we're saved by His grace. Our faith and obedience is simply God's way for us to receive the gift that He gives. Faith, repentance, confession of Christ, baptism into Christ for the remission of sins, that brings us into contact with the blood of Christ, which the grace of God has provided through His love. We are saints when we obey the gospel, Romans 6 and verse 16. And even our obedience, God is the one to whom the credit belongs. We're talking about man's condition before God and after God. Before God, he is a pitiable, doomed, and damned, hopeless, and helpless sinner on his way to an eternal condemnation. However, after God, seeing what God has done and what He has provided through His Son, man can have an eternal spiritual life with God, and all will be well with his soul. It is a matter of before and after of God, and may these truths lend themselves to encouraging us to do what God has taught us to partake of these benefits. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.